167 South 180th, right up to the 405 interchange. Sees a little bit of slowing. Right now, 51 degrees here in the Seattle area. Stay tuned for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes coming up next.
Special report, stock markets drop. I'm Jim Ascendio. As the closing bell sounds, Wall Street investors are likely breathing sighs of relief as they reach for an acid. At one point, the Dow was down more than 500 points as stocks followed oil's downward trend.
Every day, it seems that oil prices continue to plunge. You've got concerns about demand.
Money Digital correspondent Paul LaMonica says investors are worried because there's no reason to believe oil prices will rebound soon. That's because OPEC isn't about to reduce its supplies, and even more oil is expected to hit the market during the coming months. Financial correspondent Allison Kosick says low oil prices are good for consumers, but not for the overall economy.
There's a tipping point when you see oil prices get to a certain price. Don't know if they were there yet, but there's a tipping point where they start to affect the economy negatively.
The Dow closed down 247 points, the NASDAQ down 5 points, and the S&P 500 down 22 points. Oil closed at $26.76 a barrel. I'm Jim Ascendio. Senate Democrats have blocked legislation to slow the entry of refugees from Syria and Iraq into the United States. Republican Senator Ron Johnson wanted the measure to become law.
Why not have Director of Homeland or the Secretary of Homeland Security, the Director of FBI, and our Counterterrorism Center certify that we have not taken any shortcuts in the vetting process, and so the people we let in really don't pose risk to this country and to our homeland?
Bitter cold, snow, and ice. Meteorologist John Trout says those conditions are expected in much of the nation, beginning now and continuing throughout the weekend.
Well, it is that time of year, but this is a major weather system that will affect at least half of the United States beginning today. As winter weather hits parts of Missouri and Kentucky, this system is moving east. We've got sub-freezing temperatures gripping much of the Midwest, and the National Weather Service's ice could be a factor in parts of Georgia and Tennessee tonight. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
And I'm Jim Ascendio.
Do you make a positive difference in the world? Do you have a talent, philosophy, base of knowledge, product or service that you know could help a lot of people if only you could reach them? Join Alternative Talk 1150's family of broadcasters and start walking down a fruitful path. As host of your very own program, dial 425-653-1150 and find out just how affordable it can be to have a show on 1150 AM. That's 425-653-1150. Alternative Talk, we have an opportunity waiting just for you.
Good afternoon, Eric Ryder here with you on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. Time now for a quick look at our weather outlook. Well, it looks like we're going to continue to see partly sunny skies through the rest of today, but the rain is back for our Thursday, Friday, and Saturday with showers expected. Highs around 53, and it looks like it's going to be a bit breezy tomorrow as well.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM 98.9 Digital HD3 Seattle.
Welcome to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Well, it's all right.
Gosh, I love that song, Eric. That is the Traveling Wilburys, End of the Line.
Mm.
They're hard to find these days. Online.
Literally, and their music seems to be a little bit harder to find as well. Yeah.
I just love hearing that song every time it comes on before the show.
It's a catchy tune, and, you know, when you first came up with that as the theme song, I thought to myself, what does this have to do with dogs? But just over time, it just seemed so perfectly blended with everything that we talk about. You know, living the life that you please, I think.
Riding around in the breeze.
Riding around in the breeze.
Can't you just picture the dog
Riding
around, not with his or her head out the window, of course, because we know that's dangerous, but just kind of, you know, chilling like a dog, enjoying life, kind of easing up a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, we have one of my favorite guests today, over the years, Dr. Donna Kelleher is with us. Dr. Donna, welcome back to The Dog Show.
Thanks so much for having me again, Julie.
This is episode number 360, so I guess we're just back where we started, huh?
Everything goes back in a circle.
That's right. So how cool is that? Happy to have you here with us again today, and we're going to cover a lot of ground. Always appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and share your perspective and knowledge with my audience.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and if you'd like to find, or we'll be talking more specifically about your website and some exciting changes that have happened more towards the end of the show today. You can find Dr. Donna online at wholepetvet.com, and that's whole, W-H-O-L-E, petvet.com, loaded with a bunch of excellent information. So that's where you can find Dr. Donna Kelleher online, and she's the author of a number of books. One of them, I love the title, it's called The Proof is in the Poodle, and talking about health and wellness in pets. And we've talked about a lot of different topics over the years, and I wanted to have you back on the show. First of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. 2016 is going to be a great year.
I agree. I was startled yesterday to be reminded that it was yesterday was the 19th of January, and I was still thinking it was like the 9th.
Yeah. Me too. I can't believe it's already been 3 weeks.
I know. So, you know, one of the things that first came to mind, and I have a lot of topics to cover, a lot of really interesting stuff, but this, in recently, I've been seeing all of this, these posts, especially on social media, about canine influenza, and it's coming to Washington State, and you know, and it's like, okay, and I can't remember if there was a vaccine attached to that conversation or not. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I can talk to you about that if you want to. I don't know how. Yeah, just let me know which aspect of the flu you want to talk about, but it sure has gotten to be, you know, kind of the new bugaboo.
Well, no pun intended. So, what does that mean? So, it's come to Washington State. I mean, this happens with people too, right? So, it's like,
I know.
What's your perspective on this?
Well, I mean, I think the things that are sort of an epidemic portion in dogs are the things that you're not going to read about on the media. It's the chronic, slow, debilitating, immune-mediated issues, you know, like skin allergies are just, I mean, it's just a huge issue. And that's, I guess maybe it is because it's harder to pinpoint the cause. You know, when you talk about the flu, of course, everybody's looking at that causative organism, so it sort of fits within what works well for media propagation, I guess, and also for fear propagation, and also for just Western medicine. We love causative organisms. We're always looking for them. So when the immune system's not acting appropriately, it's a lot harder to sort of pinpoint. But yet, I think that's much more a profound issue. And of course, that relates to over vaccination. So basically, it's true though. There's two dogs. There's like thousands of dogs that have immune mediated disease, but these two dogs tested positive for the H3, I think it's the H3N2, but right now they're trying to, it's very difficult to distinguish between the H3N8 and the H3N2, but they look like they're new serovars, so we're still not 100% sure about how, you know, dangerous they will be in the long run, but if history is any guide, it's probably going to be blown up in the media and then, you know, die back down. But we should take some precautions, and I can talk to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a kennel in Kent, I believe, where there was exposure to some dogs in Georgia. And, of course, this has been a big issue in the kennels back east. There has been kennels that have lost dogs, definitely, to flu.
Mm-hmm.
So this new serovar does seem to be, it's very contagious, and yet it's minimally dangerous in terms of life-threatening. But I guess the real issue for me is we are, because really all the outbreaks have been in kennels. That is to say, cage situations with dogs, very stressed. They're all tight in together. And I guess I always wonder when anything like this happens, is do we ever think about how we're housing these animals? You know, the stress that we're putting them through. I mean, all we really have to do is avoid that stress. And it's just already our immune system, their immune system is working better, our immune system is working better. You know, having a boarding situation where we're not cage like that. I mean, there's all kinds of options to that now these days, more in-home type dog boarding situations. I mean, I know some of those if you want me to mention them, but or having someone stay at the house. So you're just minimizing that kennel exposure.
Yeah.
And then trying to minimize how much animals share toys, share bowls, you know, cleaning. This is a virus that's destroyed very easily on, you know, kennel surfaces and counter surfaces. All we have to really do is clean.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, cleaning, not sharing things, and reducing stress, and already you possibly have stopped this, you know, potential spread of this problem. So,
well, it really interests a lot of interesting connections there. You started off talking about just why this fits well into media,
and it also
fits well into you know, unfortunately, the industry, and mm-hmm. this is something that would potentially be a way to promote vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a moneymaker, unfortunately. You know, talking about the, you know, I loved your point about, like, well, you know, two dogs in this state have, you know, tested positive for this particular virus, and yet how many dogs have chronic skin problems, digestive issues because of processed food? I mean, it's like, those are new, you know.
I mean, and there's a big argument that, you know, vaccines play a part in terms of turning certain genes on in terms of immune-mediated disease. I mean, we experimentally have induced immune-mediated disease by over-vaccination. So then what do? We turn around and get another, you know, now we're going to do a, this is a, the vaccine they're offering for the flu has really no known efficacy at all. It's a conditional license that was just quickly granted
mm-hmm.
for this company. And again, that isn't a situation I would want to use that, you know, vaccine, even if I believed in vaccines heavily, on my animal, just because it's like, it's too new.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even really okay in the normal pathways. And you have to definitely do the two. If you're going to do it, you're sort of in it for two, which is $50 each vaccine, $100 for
right.
just the vaccine part. So
does
right.
it feels to me, and I'm not like a really reactive, paranoid person. I feel like my opinions are, I mean, I'm human, but are informed. It feels to me with this kind of thing, it's like, ooh, opportunity to make money. I mean, if we're talking about the drug companies or, you know, those who are profiting from this, it's like, ooh, you know, ooh, a flu.
Yeah.
Quick vaccine, quick market it, and then, you know, make money off of it. And there's mm-hmm. two dogs in the state that have it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's that kennel down in Kent that I think they're in the process now of testing some remaining
dogs
that did come down with respiratory. The symptoms are very much like kennel cough.
Mm-hmm.
So they say it's a little wetter. You know, kennel cough's kind of that dry hacking cough, and
mm-hmm.
they say it's a little wetter. But, I mean, for the average person, I don't know. It'd be really hard to tell the difference. And the testing's really involved. But I feel like if people hear a dog cough in a dog park or something, they should take heed of that and say, hey, you know what? Let's just everybody go home, stay home for a few days. This is a virus that lasts for 24 hours on surfaces and on your hands and things like that. So it's not, that's up to 2 days not in the animal, but on surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
So just a few days really at home, and you can kind of see if your dog's going to come down with a respiratory, you know, it's all respiratory, these
mm-hmm.
symptoms. So
what's the incubation? So how long after a dog's exposed?
It's like 2 to 3 days.
Okay.
In some cases they are telling people a week. I think that's if there's been a heavy load of viral, you know, like if the dog is in a kennel situation, there's going to be a higher load if there's been numerous dogs exposed.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think they're waiting to hear back on some of these things. But, you know, just taking some really good precautions. I do feel like sometimes we're all a little lackadaisical, like we hear a dog cough and we don't even think it could be something contagious, you know.
Right, right.
So we should probably be a little bit more attentive to those things, you know, just as a preventative measure. But, yeah, but maybe not go and get vaccinated, but do things like isolate the dog, you know, just have them be at home with you type of thing.
Yeah.
Not same, going to another kennel.
Yeah, same stuff that you hear for people as well. Like, if you're sick, don't go. You're not doing anybody any favors by pushing yourself to go to work or whatever, because, you know, you need the rest, but nobody wants to catch what you've got either, you know?
That's it. Yeah, that would really help if people just kind of paid attention and isolated the situation. That would really, really help.
Well, what an interesting angle also to look at what you said about really looking at how we generally board our dogs in these kennel environments. And, the big stress, you know, the high density paired with stress is a great recipe for dogs getting sick. And I wanted to, you know, so this sort of brings up, we're going to take a break here in a couple minutes, but I wanted to talk about, okay, so there's this information about the canine influenza, and it's kind of, you know, that time of year where stuff's going around anyway. And just in general, what are ways that people can strengthen their dog's immune system? What are the factors to that from your perspective that people can really easily do just preventatively, you know, not just when there's a flu going around, but, you know, I mean, immune function is huge anyway. So, you know, talking a little bit about immune system and the factors and, you know, what people can do if they think their dog's maybe been exposed or just wanting to try to prevent it anyway. Maybe the dog goes to dog parks, like you said, or something, so there's a higher risk of being exposed to something like that. So let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll just pick up where we left off. So we're talking with Dr. Donna Kelleher right now. You can find her online at wholepetvet.com. That's W-H-O-L-E, petvet.com. And you're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes.
You're a good dog.
Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different protein options to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their 2 stores in Burien and Kirkland, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your door. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. I'm Julie Forbes, and my first choice for my pet's food is the Natural Pet Pantry. It's the educated choice.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Heaven and Earth Chinese Herbs for You, we cover the world of animals. This week, January 24th, it's Behavior Training and Healing Sunday with me, a rare opportunity to call in and talk to me about your animal friends. Whatever's going on with your animals, I can help you figure it out and coach you through to a resolution. I'll also have details on the new canine flu going around and what, if anything, you need to do about it. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 11.
Eric, people ask me to help them with all sorts of doggy challenges.
I can only imagine.
Oh, yeah. Dogs jumping on guests, new puppy questions, behavioral challenges like fear and aggression, even dog food sensitivities. You name it, and I've probably worked with it.
But can you help people even if they don't live in Seattle?
Absolutely. I've had great success with phone consultations and have even Skyped with people and their dogs from all over the country. Every dog should be approached as a unique individual. I've talked about this over and over again on the show. That's one of the parts of working with dog training and behavior that I love the most. Every client is different. If you're listening and you need help with your dog, just get in touch. I'd love to get you pointed in the right direction and answer all of your questions. Email me, host@dogradioshow.com. That's me, Julie Forbes, host@dogradioshow.com. I look forward to connecting.
Wait, dogs can use Skype? We're really living in the future.
Spread the word. Your favorite shows are on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
What a good dog. Yes, you are. What a good dog. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Like a dog lullaby.
Exactly. Yeah. This is from an album called
songs to make dogs happy.
Well, so there you go.
Yeah.
I feel happy when I hear it.
That's right.
It makes my heart feel good.
If we can get one that says, you're a good person, then we can listen to that and enjoy it as much as the dogs.
Just zone out. All right, we're back with Dr. Donna Kelleher, who is the author of The Proof is in the Poodle, and her website is wholepetvet.com, W-H-O-L-E, petvet.com. And we were talking about the canine influenza, and that we've been seeing a bit in the media about that, and so kind of talking about some logistics of that and stress. And so I wanted to talk with you, Dr. Donna, about the immune system in dogs. And what can people do easily to strengthen their dog's immune system? What are some of the most, like, obvious, powerful ways that, you know, from your perspective, mm-hmm. if you could, you know, just give, like, hey, just do this, this, and this. What do you think?
Yep. Well, exercise is huge, and one thing I love it when people do, and I don't just mean like a neighborhood walk, but I think dogs really love to get into the woods, and just even if you're on leash, the dogs that are going out in the woods, I mean, walking in the woods for humans has been shown to increase thyroid function, regulate adrenal function, balance endocrine hormones, and this is for humans.
Yeah.
We don't normally do these studies for dogs. I wish we did. But the dogs are the same, you know. And what I find is that when the people are more balanced, you know, then the dogs will be more balanced. It's kind of an obvious thing. But the dog basically will pick up on the emotional and the stress triggers in the household. So if there's been a recent divorce or, you know, all kinds of, you know, all the many things that stress people, and there's a lot of them, especially today.
Yeah.
But dogs will pick up on that. They'll try to absorb it. They'll try to make everything better. They'll try to get you off the computer, get you out in the woods. You know, they do their communication with us. Everybody can communicate so well with their dogs, I think. It's just we're not always in a position where we feel like we can listen to them, but they're always trying to get us to reduce our stress so that they can reduce their stress.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's, diet, herbs, all kinds of nutritional things. Of course, just even doing a couple of tablespoons of raw greens a day, you know, like parsley and kale and carrots, just anything you can grind in the Cuisinart, just a couple of tablespoons, even for a large dog, has been really shown to do a whole bunch of good things for the immune system. And that seems like it's pretty easy to do. If you don't have time to do it every day, you just grind up some vegetables, put them in little ice cube tray, and then just pop out an ice cube. I like people to mix it with a little bit of pumpkin just to give it a little bit of, sort of substance in the ice cube.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just put it over their food, one ice cube a day, pour a little hot water, and boom, it doesn't take that long.
Mm-hmm.
We have vitamin recipes on my website. People can look under the nutrition section, and there's homemade vitamin recipes there that increase trace minerals, vitamin B's, and all kinds of different vitamins in the body, and all the information's there. But so my favorite one is the organic spirulina combination. But in light of this flu potentially outbreak, again, I have a hard time believing that it's really an outbreak yet, but, you know, we'll see. I am telling people about basically three herbs that are really easy to do with their dogs. So are we out of time on this, or do you want me to continue?
No, give us the herbs.
We're good. Okay.
Yep.
The herbs are lemon balm. Lemon balm is Melissa officinalis, and it's a herb that grows beautifully, easily in our area. If anything, don't let it go to seed because it takes over the whole garden. But this is Rosemary Gladstar's very favorite herpes herb. It's a very anti-herpes. And it's in a mint family. It tastes good. Lemon balm tea is so easy to make, and dogs do really well with it. A large dog can have a half a cup a day of a really strong lemon balm tea. And right there, it's a great antiviral. So it'd be a great thing to do over the next month or so. My second herb that I like a lot is astragalus. It is a Chinese herb, but we do grow a lot of it in America now, and you can pick it up in capsule form, and I just use a dose of 100 milligrams per 20 pounds of body weight per day, and that works really well, too. Let's see. And then the third thing I love to do, And this is if I'm really worried, I guess, because this increases mucosal antibody in general, or mucosal secretions, and sort of gets the immune system to sort of attenuate to anything that's going on in the mucosal surface. And that's ginger tea, fresh ginger tea. Mm. You can give too much, and then the dog has a little gastritis. So just a few teaspoons of fresh ginger with some hot water, again, poured over the food. And these, there's no side effects. In general, these are very safe herbs. There really is no side effects to them. So they're all things that you can do that I think would help most dogs if they are going to be in a challenging situation. Again, it would be better if they weren't, but if they are, at least you can take some precautions. Mm. So.
I love that your first answer to this was exercise, specifically walking in the woods.
Yeah.
Because I imagine that, or it's my understanding that exercise sort of strictly physiologically, chemically does the body good, right?
Lymphatic circulation.
Yeah. But also the emotional component. And I remember thinking to myself, so many times over and over again, when I would be fortunate enough to be out in the woods with my dogs off leash, especially, mm-hmm. of course, legally, but and just like, oh, there's just something that feels right about mm-hmm. this. Like, it's so like deeply fulfilling. So I can appreciate how powerful it is, you know, and you mentioned very clearly, you know, dogs would have sources of their own stress, and then they also get all of our stress. So if you care of your dog and take care of yourself, that's really the way to take care of your dog, take care of yourself and your dog.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of times I think it's kind of counterproductive because, and this is probably something I'm guilty of as much as anyone, but it's like, okay, she said ginger and astragalus, I'll write it all down, and okay, now I've got to run and get it. You know, and I always think, uh-oh, wait a minute, that's stressful. Like, when you go to the store anyway, you know.
Yeah.
Especially in Seattle, just driving around, you know, getting anywhere. So, yeah, just trying to fit everything within just what you would normally do. I mean, I wouldn't take that many, you know, I wouldn't take any emergency precautions at this point for the flu. I would just, I'm going to be going to the store in the next couple of days. I'll just jot it down and pick it up when I'm there, you know, so nobody stresses about getting the medicine.
Yeah. Don't work against yourself there. When you talk about astragalus capsules, is there something in general with herbs when you're getting something in capsule form? Is there something to look like about the labeling if it says, I know some of them say like standardized versus not standardized. Like, are there?
Yeah, well, astragalus doesn't standardize, so it's like an easy thing to talk about in terms of recommendations. But in other words, the companies don't make it a point to standardize because astragalus has so many components in it that are active ingredients that you can't just sort of more or less pick a few.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I'm not a big person for standardization for herbs because I like herbs in their whole form.
Yeah.
Another way to do astragalus is just to get the organic. I try to look for organic.
Yeah.
And if possible, U.S. grown. And, you know, they look like big tongue depressors, and you can pick them up, I think, just at any herbal store. You know, you have to ask about sourcing and stuff. But you can also cook them into food. You know, it's like a congee, which you're using the whole herb then. You're not using any particular constituent. But there are some exceptions to that, like milk thistle. The psilocybin in milk thistle, that is the number one treatment for death cat poisoning, which is a mushroom toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
And the treatment is actually the active ingredient in milk thistle injected as quickly as possible after ingestion, as you only have about 48 hours before the liver starts to fulminate, which is a really bad situation. It's a very toxic, bad mushroom. But anyway, milk thistle is, so that is something that is good to standardize, and it's good to have the active ingredient too. But in general, herbs, I like them in their whole form.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I, you know, in my work with people and their dogs, I work with behavior and training. So people come to me with questions about their dog's behavior oftentimes. Sometimes I get the, you know, people who just have a new puppy and they want to make sure they're going in the right direction, they know how to communicate clearly and all that kind of stuff. But other times I get people with dogs of all ages who are having some sort of issue with aggression, anxiety, stuff like that. And I'm always in my work, always scanning for, you know, all of the possible factors that contribute to an animal. So there's how they're being interacted with. How might the owner be reinforcing the behavior directly? You know, some obvious things like that. But then also asking them, you know, well, what are you feeding your dog? Are you using chemical flea medication? Are you, you know, is the dog in pain? Is, you know, stuff like that that I'll, you know, work with a veterinarian about, or just, you know, what is, you know, how's the dog's thyroid? All that kind of stuff. So I wonder, for you, people come to you with questions or challenges about their pet's health. And I imagine that you probably are scanning for their emotional, you know, that's on your radar, their stress level, their emotional well-being. You know, you mentioned, you know, the family going through a divorce or some, you know, some sort of event like that can definitely cause, you know, grief. I've seen certainly dogs grieving. So have you encountered physical symptoms that you believe were really primarily rooted in an emotional imbalance?
Well, I think a lot of conditions are affected by emotions. The ones that come to mind are the ones that generally involve the liver. And in Chinese medicine, the liver is kind of your organ of anger, frustration. And, you know, these emotions are something that animals feel too. So each organ system has its own set of emotions that are attached to it. And then, of course, in Chinese medicine, it's not like something is psychological and then something's physical. It's actually kind of all in of the same. So I probably do a lot of unconscious connections like that. But yeah, I mean, if a dog, there's so many dogs that they seizure when they, you know, when they get stressed by something. I mean, it's an amazing thing that, you know, the liver is very sensitive to emotions of the environment and also, you know, so the people's emotions and also, you know, if the dog's feeling all kinds of just anger because there's another dog there and he's getting all the attention, or he tries to attack me and I just sit in the corner, and then when I try to move, he tries to, and then I have a seizure. Yeah, definitely. It's absolutely there. It affects health. Yeah, the emotional health affects the physical health.
Mm. How have you witnessed grief impact? Have you witnessed that specifically?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And you know, I know it's a dog show, but gosh, cats grieve. Like, cats really grieve.
Don't talk about cats. No, don't talk about cats.
All the dog people revolt.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, dogs do too. And the grief is, it's interesting. I mean, I've known dogs, my own dogs, will just, if one dog passes away and the other one misses him, they'll just stop eating. They'll sometimes hide for a few days. They'll shake, you know, sometimes they'll do crazy stuff. They'll go to the bathtub and just stay there.
Yeah.
It's like, where is he? He's in the bathtub because he's sulking. I mean, I've seen all kinds of stuff over the years. And there's some things you can do holistically for that. And I think the more people can work with their own grief, I think that helps the dog just kind of, you know, I know one of my dogs, just every time he saw a white poodle when Samson passed away, Smudge would just like, there's a white poodle. Let's run over. You know, so you'd be like, no, it's not the same white poodle.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
no,
it's okay. You know, so I would do a lot of visualization of the other dog and, you know, maybe even bring the other dog into our space as a spiritual entity and just talk, and so we can have a dialogue, all of us, you know. And I don't know if that sounds completely crazy, but that's just me. I believe the spirit world isn't too far away.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, I think there's a lot we can do. And there's a homeopathic that's specific for grief. And it's always, when I say it, I probably possibly say it wrong, and so someone can correct me, maybe on Facebook or something, but it's Echinacea. So it's not echinacea, it's Echinacea, so it's I-G-N-A-T-I-A, I believe.
Uh-huh.
It's a homeopathic that's specific for grief, and I have used it a lot over the years, and I think it helps. You know, it's always hard to say how long this will last. I mean, some dogs grieve for a month. Mm-hmm. I mean, they grieve longer than the people, so it's just... like I say, the more the people can move on from it and just kind of, you're never really moving on whenever you lose an animal. You know, you're always just going into a new chapter. That's how I like to look at it.
Yeah.
And just moving forward, though, you know, so that it's not, so we try to do that within our own bodies, really embodying that. And that's where spirituality and meditation and whatever your belief system comes into play. It really helps. But having some kind of a handle on that is very helpful.
Yeah.
For grief for animals, I think.
Brings us back to the importance of taking care of yourself as one of the best ways to take care of your pet, because they're impacted by us.
It's sort of one of those things where it's easy to talk about, but I know there's been all kinds of times where I'm out at midnight, you know, making up the animal food or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm supposed to sleep.
I know. Well, it's funny. I was, of course, kidding about the whole cats thing, because in my notes... in my notes, as I was writing down, you know, human emotional stress versus the dog's emotional stress, their own stress, and then also the stress that they take on from people, mm-hmm. and then grief ? And then I have cats ? Like what? Because I
you already thought of it. Wow.
I was just kidding about don't talk about cats. You know, it's a dog show. But I was curious because I don't know cats the way that I know dogs. I've lived with cats before, but they weren't ever mine, and it was sort of shorter stints of time. And I'm always happy to see cats when I'm at a client's house and a cat comes over to say hi, and or they're interested in what
I'm
doing
nice
with the dog.
It's dog people. If it's a dog cat, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Good, it's a dog cat.
Yeah, I know. But what is what are their you mentioned that cats, like, I think it was in grief that, you know, cats really grieve. What is?
Yeah, well, you know, more people, I mean, I think it's 80 million people own cats. I could be wrong about that. But so there's more people, though, in America that own cats than that own dogs. So cats are really a part of our lives. They're that, you know, little creature that's kind of always watching us. And I think that just kind of the connection between people and their cats, and I'm not just talking about now. Of course, I'm talking over thousands of years as they've domesticated to us. They're close to us. I think I almost feel like, you know, they know us better than we know ourselves sometimes.
Yeah.
The cats are very, they're amazing because they pick up on our emotions and they feel them and they know them, but they don't always embody them like a dog will. And to me, that means that a cat can always has that little bit of, hey, you know what? I've got to work on my own. They protect their core. And that's that whole nine lives thing. You know, they can, so a cat is, and it's really true. An event that will kill a dog is just nothing for a cat. They'll bounce back from it. And vets know this. It's kind of amazing.
Mm.
Like, that's a pretty bad poison he got into. Good thing you brought him in. Well, you know, I think one of his lives might be used up. Okay, we've got 8 more, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But in terms of the emotions, I feel like they're very, very connected to people's emotions. And, you know, cat people, they don't like to talk about it because they're cat people. But in general, I see a lot of tightness between people and their cats. And, you know, and they'll share a lot of the same, you know, if the person's neck will go out in one direction at a certain vertebrae, the cats will sometimes, you know, I see those medical similarities sometimes. So I mean, we see it in dogs too, but cats are very part of, they're very, it's like something that people don't always really notice consciously. They're kind of unconscious, you know. They're there in an unconscious state. People like, yeah, I just know it doesn't feel right when I don't have a cat around.
Yeah. So. One of the things as we're talking about sort of emotional health and its connection or oneness with physical health and, you know, the whole mind-body-spirit connection, I would say one of the most common things that I get called about behaviorally,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, feels like it's getting more and more and more and more and more, is anxiety.
Yes.
Anxiety.
Food allergies. When I think of anxiety, all I can think of, honestly, is food allergies. That's just because I see it so much. And I didn't used to see it, like 20 years ago. We had anxious dogs, but it feels like way more now.
So it sounds like you have noticed a connection between food allergies and anxiety.
Yeah, I have noticed it, and I've also, you know, done posts on my blog about it because and it's not always as straightforward. Like, a lot of people know now, okay, I'm not going to give them grains, but what happens a lot of times I see is the immune system kind of morphs into whatever they actually are feeding and sort of says, I'm going to react to that. But they do. They have all kinds of chemicals that are released in the brain, and they make the body tense. They change, and when you fix those allergies in whatever way you do it, whether it's just raw diets or dehydrated diets, they can completely shift and become calm. It's crazy,
mm-hmm.
and maybe you've seen that too.
I've seen it. I remember this one dog. She was a wire fox terrier. She was about 7 years old and was acting aggressive. And, you know, biting. And and we did our initial session. It was like, okay, well, we're gonna do some work, you know, in the realm of training and working with the owner and the dog and all that kind of stuff. But that was going to be a couple weeks before that started. In the meantime, I had the dog. I remember she was eating Purina Beneful, and I had her switch over to Natural Pet Pantry Raw. And before we started our training, she had switched the dog, you know, pretty much immediately over. And so in those 2 weeks, she noticed the aggression didn't go away, but it decreased significantly just by switching the food.
Yeah. Isn't that something, really? I've been amazed at just the relationship there, you know, something that I never, ever thought they would be related. But it's so often that they are. And you just fix one and the other one gets better, too. It's really nice.
Yeah. I've noticed, I think I've talked about this with you before, but I, a while ago, was like, what is with this thing where these dogs, I was seeing these dogs, like, sort of over the years, one here, one there, and I was like, what is going on? Finally, I dug in a little bit and did some research on chemical flea medications,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to know, how are they working? What are they doing that is causing, it seems, some dogs to have sort of agitated or anxious or phobic behaviors develop at the start of or at the switching of these chemical flea medications? And the one that I researched was fipronil, which is the active ingredient in Frontline, and it causes...
Let's see, I just had to change phones. I hope you can hear me okay. Can you hear me okay, Julie?
You're good. Yep.
Okay. The flea medications causing behavioral issues and other medical issues, it's going to get more and more because what's happening is the fleas are getting resistant to the old, you know, we used to just use the Advantage or the Frontline and, you know, gradually, the fleas have gotten more resistant to that. So then we've had to come out and bring out more chemicals. We haven't had to. It's just what the industry has promoted. Of course, on my website, I have a whole flea section and natural ways to deal with fleas, which I think in the end, the person's going to be, it takes a lot of work up front, but then you don't have to worry about the resistance, you know. But dogs can get all kinds of problems after flea medications. I mean, I've seen them go completely paralyzed from them, where it took several weeks of all kinds of therapy to get them back on their feet. It's unbelievable. And a lot of these things, you know, it's hard to really report it because it's like you report it and it's like, well, are people really, is the AVMA really making care? Do they really care about it? I mean, it's a question. I haven't seen them really. I mean, of course, it's not in their favor to care about it. So it's a problem. And I feel like that is going to get worse and worse, and it's going to contribute to behavioral issues because in Chinese medicine, well, no, just in terms of what is a flea medicine, when you say a flea chemical, it is something that's a neurotoxin and a hepatotoxin. So it's going to affect the liver, even if it's just on a micro level, and that is, again, going to feed into that anger, agitation, frustration, those emotions. And so that is really what we're going to see, I think, more of as people turn to more and more toxic chemicals for flea control.
I thought it was fascinating because I was I don't even know how I found this, but I found some studies because I was like, what? Okay, they say, oh, no, but it's, you know, it's fine for the dog, just it kills any insect on the dog.
It's just dose dependent. So it's all dose dependent. So actually, if you increase the dose enough, it would pretty much do the same thing to the dog that it's doing to the insect. But because the insect's so much smaller, in general, the dose is so low that even though you're bringing those neurotoxins and hepatotoxins into the body, it's not enough to, you know, kill the animal. But like I say, in some cases when they are very prone to having toxicities, then it actually can. Or at least they can get nasty side effects. So for a while until the person takes precautions or contacts their local holistic vet, you know.
Yeah. I know when it says on the label, like, don't touch, you know, wash your hands.
Don't let kids anywhere near it. Don't let kids within 50 feet of it. Huh? Well, I'm going to put it on my dog. Oh, no, that's okay.
Yeah, I know. Like, I don't know. I've noticed a link to just in piecing together timing of, you know, I had this one dog in West Seattle that lived above the, sort of up the hill from the ferry. And they lived there for years. And all of a sudden he started developing this phobic behavior to the horn that the ferry,
that is unlucky living there, isn't it?
I know,
it?
Right? Well, and then, of course, it starts generalizing to other noises that go off.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, well, this, you know, the house alarm gone off because I can really do a number on dogs, or the, you know, fire alarm, or no, nothing like that. And then it was the same month that they had switched the dog to, in this case, Trifexis.
Yeah, which is my least favorite. I know. Trifexis, Comfortis, they're getting more toxic.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, you know, and this is not the first time that we've, you know, digging into trying to figure out, well, what changed? What has changed in the dog for all of a sudden? Things don't just start all of a sudden for no reason. There's got to be something, you know?
Yeah, there could be a definite relationship. And that's when you say neurotoxin, a lot of times people don't really understand, what is that? I mean, it's one thing to have, like, a leg not working. I mean,
right.
But neurotoxin affects any aspect of the nervous system, and that can include, you know, sensory input, which is what you're describing here.
Mm. Yeah.
So I don't think it's limited to, you know, I mean, I was talking about a dog who's completely paralyzed, and obviously that's a severe situation. That was from Frontline. But, there's been numerous cases of potential toxicity. And, in fact, if anyone in the audience has a dog that has had problems, known problems from Trifexis, I'd like to know, because right now the AVMA is fighting back on that. They're basically saying people are just making it up, even though I believe there's a class action lawsuit and supposedly 700 dogs have died from Trifexis. I have not actually talked to any of these people, and I would love to, because I just don't think it's fair that the AVMA can sort of say that there's a whole bunch of people that are lying. Well, why would the people go to that effort, you know?
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of problems from it, like you're describing, but to actually, you know, have deaths from it. I haven't personally seen that. I don't know. Have you, Julie?
No, not personally.
Okay, I would. Yeah, I want to talk to those people and write about that. So
we personally had a dog almost die. She was never the same afterwards, but she almost died from a rabies vaccine, but not not the
vaccine. That's a described. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, that's what we're trying to change. You know, I know you've had Gene Dodds on, and mm-hmm. And I think they're in their seventh or eighth year of that 9-year study. So in the next year or two, I'm hoping there's some big changes on the rabies vaccine recommendations.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, I want to talk to you about your website and what you have to offer people through your website as far as resources for them and their pets. We're talking Great. With Dr. Donna Kelleher. Her website is wholepetvet.com, W-H-O-L-E, petvet.com. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes.
Hey there, my little dog, would you like to go outside and play with?
Your dog didn't hate going to the vet. Wish you were welcomed by a team who cared? Jet City Animal Clinic is an enjoyable respite from the same old thing. Dr. Anderson and her team have created a full-service facility that combines veterinary expertise with a comfortable style. Jet City Animal Clinic is located in Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood on 12th Avenue across from Seattle U. Bring your crazy questions, odd ideas, and alternative thinking. Jet City Animal Clinic will work with you to keep your furry family members healthy and happy. Traditionally educated with an open mind, call us at 206-329-0253 or email info@jetcityanimalclinic.com to make an appointment. Jet City Animal Clinic, a unique approach to the health care of your urban pet, a local family practice. JetCityAnimalClinic.com.
The Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different protein options to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their 2 stores in Burien and Kirkland, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your door. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. I'm Julie Forbes, and my first choice for my pet's food is the Natural Pet Pantry. It's the educated choice.
Stay informed with news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour, weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Like you're needing some attention, come sit by me. Have I told you lately that you're my best friend?
Is that from the same album, or... same collection, Eric?
No. This is Heidi Weinzinger and from her album Snow Day.
Mm.
But it's called My Best Friend. It's all about her dog.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of us can relate to that.
Oh, yeah. I'm digging these feel-good dog songs. I just want to sit with my dogs and listen to them. Go for a walk in the woods. back talking with Dr. Donna Kelleher. Now, you have a website. It's not necessarily a new site, but it's structured differently now, and it's wholepetvet.com, W-H-O-L-E, petvet.com. And you have a new membership that you're offering. So tell us about that.
Okay. Well, you know, I have these amazing people that are helping me with the website and the web membership, and I have to say they're doing it really out of the kindness of their heart because they believe in not only my message but also holistic veterinary medicine. And so I have never paid them. They're doing it because they are basically dog activists, and mm-hmm. I know you know what that's like.
Yeah.
It's amazing, and so I just wanted to thank them for that. They know who they are. I don't know if I should say their names. I've got to ask their permission. But at any rate, we're doing this web membership. Basically, we're trying to structure the website to be better and better for preventative care. So what happened was, and what has been happening for all of us holistic vets that are out there, is we're really busy. Many times it takes weeks or even months to get into one of us. And, you know, it's not always the case. But for the most part, it's like, yeah, we can't really get someone right in. And not only so for triage care, a lot of people, like, they call us or whatever when there's an actual major problem. Whereas for the most part, if the people knew just a few things, you know, it would really, really help prevent disease in their animal. Like, it could really extend their animal's lives and make it so they wouldn't have to use pharmaceuticals. But a lot of things happen, and it's sort of like if the awareness is there, then it doesn't have to happen. So when I got a little kind of like, I think there might be more we could do here. Mm-hmm. So what we have done is put more and more information on the website for free. Mm-hmm. So if people, we have a nutrition section, a flea section. We were just talking about flea control, and I have an awesome section there. And we're not trying to sell anything. We are never trying to sell anything. Even on our web membership, we're not trying to sell anything. So on the regular website, we're adding more free information. And then if people want to become really more and more, I sort of say, engage with our message, learn more about even more diets and more about sort of a higher level, I guess, of knowledge. But it does take a little bit of time on your part, because it means that, you know, you have to click on, you have to decide what you're going to talk about. We have an online forum that basically is an interactive forum. So we're very engaged with people who sign up, and we call them PAC members. So it's a small fee. I think it comes to $16 a month if they do the annual fee. Mm-hmm. And that's to cover our basic, because I wasn't sure how many members we'd have. If I was guaranteed to have a bunch, I'd make it a lot cheaper, and maybe one day that will happen. But for right now, it's kind of a one-time sort of annual fee, and then we do have 3 months and 1 month membership options.
Mm-hmm.
And people can get on and learn what are the holistic ways. Like, we just posted about cranial cruciate ruptures. You know, most people just prompt right off to the surgeon and give them $5,000, and maybe that's the right thing to do in some cases. But we wanted people to have a very detailed approach to that particular syndrome, because we help a lot of animals with cruciate ruptures without surgery. And it's just there's sort of a protocol that we kind of follow, and we're using prolotherapy now, and diet and herbs and acupuncture. And it's phenomenal what it can do. I mean, in one or two prolotherapy sessions, those dogs can be normal and stay normal their whole lives without surgery. So when you see this enough, these kinds of results enough, you know, it sort of puts a fire, at least for up to me, and says, okay, we gotta educate more and do more. So it's a new thing. I've never heard of any other holistic vet offering quite what we're doing. So,
yeah. So people can go to your website. It's again, wholepetvet.com. I have a link to it on our website, which is dogradioshow.com. And become a member and essentially participate in a conversation, an ongoing conversation. They can submit topic suggestions and feedback directly to you. There's a newsletter, community forum.
We have a lot of sample videos. So a lot of it is video education,
cool,
too. And we have some of those sample videos. Like we just talked about anxiety and food allergies, and we have a sample video that people can watch on the website, as well as how to brush your dog's teeth.
Yeah.
Very important in holistic medicine to do that.
Yeah, for sure. I know. So, well, time flies, and it's the 360th episode today. How fun is that? Full circle, right?
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Great.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show and to learn from you and chat with you and all that good stuff. Dr. Kelleher's website, again, is wholepetvet.com, W-H-O-L-E, petvet.com. Check it out. Check out the memberships. And I'll look forward to having you back sometime this spring. We can talk more in depth about fleas.
My favorite subject.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes.
You've been listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, Wednesday afternoons at 2 on Alternative Talk 1150 AM. Never miss another episode. Listen to our podcasts online at dogradioshow.com or download them for free on iTunes or SoundCloud.
Views expressed on the preceding program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. Contests mentioned during this program are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not of the station, its management, or other advertisers. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK FM 98.9, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Good afternoon, Eric Ryder here with you on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m. as we approach 3 o'clock. Time for a quick look at our traffic.